The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, hello. It's the Giant Head from Minneapolis. How you doing, everybody? It's 11:02 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. Actually, you know something? I better stop this. It's actually 11:03. The intro takes about a minute. So we do start at 11:02, but right now it's 11:03, and it's 8:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and it's 3 minutes after 2 p.m. in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and here where I'm sitting in the heart of northeast Minneapolis. You see that behind me? That's from the Stone Arch Bridge. It's 10:03 p.m. I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to another edition of Jim Peters at Night. If I'm right, this is installment number 63, if I'm correct. So we got it going on. You know, it's happening. Now, speaking of that background behind me, this is Minneapolis, and we're famous for our snow. And it does appear we are going to have a snow. We are not going to have a white Christmas. That's what it looks like. We've got a couple bouts of snow since Thanksgiving. Very minor, though, only like a half an inch or inch at a time. Melted in a day. It's been unusually warm, and don't say climate change. That's bullshit. It's just weather. It's weather. Climate change is bullshit. It doesn't exist. This is just weather, okay? Any rate, it's been unusually warm here, and it looks like they're saying we're going to have a warm winter because of the El Nino on the West Coast, and that's usually what happens. So, today was 28. That was the high, and that's exactly the average high for this day. December 18th, but it's going to be in the 40s for the rest of the week, including on Christmas Day, and that's unusually warm for here, and I'm sure you wanted to hear all about that crap, didn't you? Yeah, well, okay, so I'll tell you, I had a good weekend. Yeah, I did, and I bet you had a good weekend, too. Let me tell you what's going on here. Tomorrow night, Mark Morano's joining us. He is the editor of ClimateDepot.com, talking about climate change being bullshit. We're going to talk to him about that for about 40 minutes, and he's got a lot to say, too. So I don't know if you've been reading about this this climate summit that happened over in Dubai, COP28, it's called. Well, here's the thing that didn't really get covered in the news about this. And if you go to Mark's website, ClimateDepot.com, it's kind of buried in one of the stories. You'll find it there. 97,000 people came to this thing. Well, that's not a conference. That's a fucking city. What the hell? 97,000. And also, I'm not kidding. Almost all of them flew in on private jets. It's like there was more CO2 dumped into the atmosphere from this thing than anything that's happened for 100 years. Unbelievable. Anyway, we're going to talk to Mark about that tomorrow. That'll be really interesting. Of course it is, because I booked him. Wednesday, we've got the tag team going. We have Jeff Meyer from Conk News and Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from RedState.com will be joining us together again for the first time. And so we got a bunch of reasons to talk to them about the news. Thursday, a very special visitor from the north. I bet you can guess. He's coming. He's going to be here. I don't know how sober he's going to be, but he will be around. That guy. Okay, so we're taking next week off. That's starting from the 25th to the 28th. That's Monday through Thursday, our normal time. We're taking that off. We are doing a show on Monday, January 1st. We have a big announcement we're making. We're having a special guest on for that show. That we have that's going on Monday, January 1st. I have a little announcement that I will make then, but I'm going to make it right tonight too. And that this is kind of odd, but I just bear with me for a second. We're not going to book guests on Mondays anymore. I mean, the idea when we started the show is we were going to have a guest every night. That was the idea. And then I thought, well, maybe we wouldn't have a guest on Thursdays. Problem with that. Most of the guests, when we, you know, we try to be very flexible to get these guests on because, you know, I mean, right now only 65 people are watching this on Rumble, so we don't exactly have huge numbers yet. But so we try to be flexible on this. And, the majority of the guests ask to come on Thursdays. That's what we've noticed after doing this for 5 months. And conversely, we have hardly any guests that ask to come on Monday at all. And on top of that, we've been off for 3 days, so there's already a shitload of news. I mean, I collect news all over the weekend because basically it's a habit at this point. And I put, I mean, you should see the outline I had today. I had to cut out half of it. It's like, no, we can't. What is this going to be? Me talking for 3 hours? No, I'll faint. No. It's Mondays are going to be monologue Mondays from now on. Now you can join me here. I'd appreciate if you did. Well, hold just a second. I gotta move my my notebook program. You call jimandnight.com/call. You go to that address area. You press click on the big blue button at the top of the page, and you will be in our green room area where you can check your camera and mic, and then you push join at the bottom, and you're in the queue. It's very simple. People do it all the time. This show is just me, and I'm basically what I'm telling you now is we're committing to the fact that Mondays are going to be monologues only. That's it. So we're going to do weekend review. Now we're going to do another interesting thing here too at the end of January, and I think it's on the 29th. Is that a Monday? On the last Monday of every month, we're going to have a month in review panel. And this is a leftover from my old days at Conk News when I did the weekly podcast there. And basically, it's the same bunch of guys, more or less. We're gonna do a month in review panel on the last Monday of every month. So that starts on January 2. We got a lot of stuff going on in January. We already got got some really cool guests booked for Monday for January. It's going on, folks. It's happening. So. Before we actually get into the real news for today, and we have a shitload of it, I do want to point out that yesterday was the 120th anniversary of the first flight by the Wright brothers at Kitty Hawk, the first flight of a self-powered airplane. Now, why is that important? Well, it was the start of flight. But the thing is, what you've probably heard is that there's a lot of people who contest the fact that the Wright brothers were first. There's a guy in France who apparently maybe flew for a few seconds a few months before that. A couple other guys. There's a guy in Russia. There's a guy in the United States. Yeah, okay, maybe they did. That's not really the point. The Wright brothers invented the airplane. All this other stuff was bullshit. We are still using the principles of Wright brothers. You put in the original Wright Flyer, number one, that they flew that day. We're still using it, wing warping, ailerons, the whole bit. I mean, they built an airplane. That's the actual difference. So they get the credit, whether they were the actual first or not. They might have been well have been first, but I don't care. If you flew your fucking jalopy contraption for 12 seconds, that's bullshit. That doesn't count. I've never been to Kitty Hawk. They have a really, really incredible. It's a national site. They have a monument there, and that it's actually really cool looking. And they have the Wright brothers. They used a single monorail track to launch the flyer, and they have the reproduction of that on the ground where they were. All sorts of stuff. I've always wanted to go. Because it was a seminal moment in human history. Now, you think about this. My father was born 1 month after that, in January of 04. This was December of 03. And so, what is it? 61 years later, we landed on the moon. Holy shit. And the other thing is, we landed on the moon without any computers. Everyone, you know, oh, yeah, they'll tell you, yes, there was a computer in the Apollo spacecraft. Yeah, it was basically an electronic calculator. It was 1968 and nobody knew shit. You know, they went to the moon with slide rules. I mean, Christ. And that's also amazing, too. There's nothing digital about this, folks. Nothing. It was all analog, including the communication. So, yeah. And so, you know, there's been we've talked about this before. You know, I'm the great conspiracy theorist. One of my friends says, I suppose you thought they didn't land on the moon, huh? No, I've said this before. I'm pretty certain they did because everyone saw them launch the rocket, and that's three quarters of the expense. You put the rocket up there. And so the theory is, the conspiracy theory is, they parked in orbit while these guys on the ground did this TV show for the public. No bullshit. They did not. It's like, if you're going to put that fucking rocket up there, that was $1 billion in 1960 money, man. It's like, you know, it was a shitload of expense. No, if you're going to put the rocket up, you're going to the moon. You know, now there's a converse theory to this, which makes a lot more sense. And I don't know if this is true, but it does make sense. There's been a rumor for years that they actually went up clandestinely a month ahead of time. They did the whole thing a month ahead of time to make certain they could do it because they didn't want to fail in public. So, and it was the same three guys apparently, so they were still the first guys on the moon. But so that's the theory. I don't know if that's true, but that makes way more sense than the fact they didn't go. Way more. So, okay, what happened today? I'll tell you what happened today. If you watch the show with any regularity, you know I bitch about a lot of shit. I bitch about politicians, mostly liberals, but conservatives too. Mostly Democrats, but also Republicans. I bitch. Yeah, I bitch. I also, but I my real, what's the word I'm looking for? My anger is really toward the press. I mean, I'm doing this because the press, the mainstream media in the United States, has completely gone to hell, totally. Now, my friends at hotair.com, we have Jash on here. He's a weekend editor. We have David Strom comes on here regularly. He's the associate editor. This article is from Hot Air. It's from the main editor, Ed Morrissey, and I'm happy to tell you that Ed is going to be a guest on the show on January 23rd, Tuesday. So yeah, that's really cool. And I guess we might even do a swap. He does a podcast for Salem Media too, and I might end up being on that also. He's talked about that, but we'll see. But he's coming on this show on January 3rd, 23rd. Third guy from Hot Air. If you haven't read Hot Air, you got to check it out. So this is some of the most fantastic news commentary that you'll find anywhere. And it's not just those three guys. They got Beej Wellborn. They got John Sexton. Occasionally, John Stossel writes for them. Dennis Prager occasionally submits an article. I mean, this is really, really hot and heavy stuff. I check it every day. And this is the so I end up quoting these guys a lot. I think you know that. So this article is from Ed Morrissey, the main editor over there. And the headline is, Media Mutters, No Pope Francis Did Not Okay Blessings for Same-Sex Relationships. Okay, so now if you looked at or watched the news anywhere today, hell, this was even on one of the local news channels I saw here in Minneapolis. You might have seen a story that said Pope Francis has now, the Catholic Church has now decided to bless same-sex unions. That story is completely and utterly incorrect. It's wrong. And it's being reported everywhere. And I mean, some people, like I saw like on Fox News on their website, they said, you know, Catholic Church blesses same-sex unions, and then it says with some caveats. No, there's no caveats here. They didn't do that. This is what actually happened. They put out, maybe you're aware of this, I don't know if you are, there's a couple really conservative priests in the United States, bishops, who've been giving the Vatican a hard time about some of the social liberal stuff. And so they asked for basically a ruling. So and I can't remember what these things are called, doctrines or whatever they are. So the Vatican released a study or a statement. It's long. Whether they're going to, you know, approve of and bless same-sex marriages. That's what the question was. So what happened is they put out this doctrine. And apparently nobody in the press in the United States, nobody read it. I just find this unbelievable. This is, I can't tell you, I saw this report at least a dozen different places today completely wrong. It's wrong. So what the Vatican said was, this is what they said. They parsed their words carefully, but it's still very distinct. They said that they bless the individuals in a same-sex union because the church and God blesses all people, no matter what, including if they're not even Catholic. That's what they said here. So they're blessing the people involved in a same-sex union. They're not blessing the union itself. That is still considered a sin, still verboten, and they don't go there. So they're not okaying same-sex marriage. As a matter of fact, as Ed points out in his article, nothing's changed. That's the thing. It was a clarification. It was not a change of ruling at all. Nothing has changed. And yet you wouldn't get that idea looking at all these news outlets. It's like, you know, it just bugs the shit out of me. So here I am, you know, I got 65 people watching on Rumble right now, and you're thinking, well, Jim, how do you know, you know? Well, it's because it says so. You know, it's the same with Ed. I mean, you know, Hot Air isn't famous. They're not Time Magazine. They're not Newsweek. You know, they're not Facebook. But still, it's like, you know, why does it take morons like, I'm going to call Ed a moron, but I'm with him, like Ed and I, to point this out to you people when the New York Times and everybody is getting this wrong. Everybody. And do they lose their jobs? No. Are they punished in some way for getting the story wrong? No. No, they just nope. They're just going to go on their merry way. They may put a correction in, you know, on Friday on page 67B or something like that, you know, at the bottom. You know, who knows? Who knows? They don't care. They do not care. And then you wonder, and conversely with this, not conversely, but correspondingly with this, a poll came out this last week about Americans' trust in the media. It's at an all-time low. It hasn't been this low since, what did they say, 2003, if I'm right? Yeah. So, and also, and then just other stuff has happened here, too. Like, for example, and maybe you heard about this. So, and this goes back like a couple years now. James Cotton, who was the op-ed editor for the New York Times, lost his job because he published a piece by Senator Tom Cotton, who happens to be Republican, and I can't even remember now what the piece was about, but it was mostly just the fact that he was a Republican. He got so much blowback by the woketards that work at the paper that he got fired. And these people at the New York Times have essentially, they have taken over the editorial process. And the thing is, they're not in charge. That's the other thing. I mean, and so if you read the description I have of the show today on the media sites about the fact that the kids are not all right, which I have to say, once again, I stole that from David Strom, another piece he wrote for Hot Air this weekend about how he talks about the fact that, you know, for years, there were people, you know, isolated people in the media and in academia screaming about the fact that, you know, they're indoctrinating our kids with bullshit and nobody really believed them or paying any attention. And it's come to roost now, and especially with the Israeli-Hamas conflict, it's plainly obvious. These kids are full of shit. That's all there is to it. Now, another thing that happened this weekend, too, speaking about kids full of shit, I don't know if you saw this. I'm not on TikTok. I refuse. Absolutely refuse. I have to tell you, when I worked for Kong News, the publisher asked me, and the publisher is Jeff Meyer, so who am I? You know that if you've hung around here long enough. He asked me to check out TikTok about doing some, you know, posting on there, and I did. And now I don't know if you know this. It's kind of interesting. You can access TikTok on your web browser, on your desktop site, but to actually sign up for a membership, you have to do it on your phone. you have to download the app. There's a reason for that, because when you download the app, they get control of a bunch of, not control, or access, excuse me. They get access to a bunch of features on your phone, including your contact information, you know, who you're calling, who you're texting, all that stuff. It all goes to China. See? So I did not want to do this, but I was obligated because of my position. I actually did download the app and signed up. I was appalled by what I saw there. The fact, and it's not even that I saw anything that was particularly dirty. That's, you know, or like obscene. That's not the problem. The problem is that apparently what this stuff amounts to entertainment for our youth. It was so lame, it was mind-boggling. The only thing I saw in there that was the least bit interesting, and I have to make a value judgment here because most of it was bad, but there was a few dancers on there. They put up these 30-second dance videos. There was a few dancers that were pretty impressive. That's it. But only a few of them. Most of them were lame. Most of them no business doing it. And then it's basically like makeup shit. And it's like, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how lame this stuff is. You know, people used to make fun years ago, and I think people still do it, about the fact that people are posting what they were eating on Facebook, you know. And that accounted for communication. And nobody gave a crap. And I got off Facebook. I'm famously not on social media. The show is on social media all over the place. I am not. I don't post at all. I used to do this. I was really, really into it about 2006, 2007. And I literally woke up one day and said, you know, I'm wasting my time. This is bullshit. I stopped. I have a account on Facebook that I've abandoned. I haven't posted to it in years. By the way, if you ever try to close one of those accounts on Facebook, they will let you, quote-unquote, suspend it. That's easy. Close it? Oh, no. It's almost impossible because they want to count you as a member for their membership stats for their advertisers. So they won't let you close your account. Well, they technically do, but it's very difficult just to figure out how to do it, let alone actually execute it. But so I was on TikTok. So the thing is, I bring this up because that's my experience with TikTok. If you've never been on TikTok, what's going on right now is that there is what's being called a TikTok mutiny in the U.S. military. A lot of the young people who've signed up for the military, and of course they're mostly under 25, are getting on TikTok and bitching and moaning about how terrible the military is. The food is bad. The pay is back. They don't get enough sleep. They don't have any privacy. What the fuck were you expecting? It's the military. I mean, this is the thing. It's like, all right, you can bitch all you want. We don't have conscription in the United States. Nobody makes you do this. It's the military. And they're complaining. And the thing is, it's not just two or three people either. I mean, they've got quite a few bunch of people complaining on there about, and I've seen some of these videos. These kids and their kids are so fucking lame, it's mind-boggling. I mean, we have really raised a whole generation now. It's become very obviously raged a generation of pussies. That's the only way I can put it, you know. And my wife reminds me of this. She says, you're just an old curmudgeon, you know. You know, your dad said the same thing about you guys, you know. And maybe that's true, that every generation is bitched about the generation that's coming up after it. But I've been bitching for quite a while, even before this stuff rose its ugly head, because of test scores. I mean, I don't know if you've been following this. Test scores, high school graduation test scores, have been dropping precipitously over the last 30 years. Matter of fact, what was it, about 7-8 years ago, the SATs actually changed the scoring to make it look better because so many people were doing so badly. And now people are still doing badly, even with a revised scoring system. We're going to be left with nobody in America knowing anything. I mean, you ever see the movie Idiocracy? It seems like that's coming true. So now you have a bunch of kids on campus, the surveys that have been done the last 2-3 weeks are just fucking startling. So they ask, you know, Americans, you know, the vast majority of Americans, well, adults anyway, are, you know, support Israel in the Israel-Hamas war, except for kids between the ages of 21 and 30, people under the age of 30. They support Hamas. I mean, it's mind-boggling. They do. They support Hamas. And then you got the queers for Palestine thing, which is so fucking hilarious. It's mind-boggling. You want to be a queer for Palestine? Sure, we'll take you. I'll send you over there. I'll buy you a ticket. You go. You're gonna get thrown off a roof somewhere, like in the first 30 minutes. You're gonna be killed. That's what they do to queers in Palestine. It's, you know, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. And not only that, then the other thing is a lot of these surveys have asked people, well, can you point out Gaza on a map? Can't do it. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just going along with the crowd. They don't know what they're talking about. I just don't believe it. And so getting back to the media, okay, so here's another example that happened this last weekend. This was Friday or Saturday. Saturday, I think. New York Times, there was a story about Hunter Biden giving that stupid press conference in the front of the Capitol about the fact that my father's not financially involved in my business. You know, so he was supposed to be in the Capitol doing a deposition. He was subpoenaed. That's a legal thing. He was subpoenaed. He has to be there, and he blew them off and stood in front of the Capitol, literally in front of the building he's supposed to be inside of, and said, I'm just here to tell you that this is, I don't know if he used the word witch hunt, but basically he said the same thing Trump's been saying. He said, this is all politically motivated. And he said in the exact terms, he said, my father is not financially involved in my business dealings. Now, when the New York Times ran the story on this Saturday morning, the quote they published was, my father is not involved in my business dealings. They left out the word financial, which is, from a legal standpoint, the really, really clear delineating thing in that, because that changes the meaning of the whole thing. And they left that word out. Now, you're going to tell me they didn't hear it? No. No, everybody heard it. They knew. And they corrected that about 5 or 6 hours later. They ran a correction. And I don't know if they fixed the original article. They just ran a correction. You know, I was telling you, you know, they bury the connections and the corrections in the back of the B section. So you're going to tell me that wasn't deliberate? You're going to tell me that? That's, they literally misreported the news on purpose. I mean, it's like, these people are scumbags. We used to call the New York Times the paper of record, the newspaper of record in the United States. Not anymore. You know, it's unbelievable. I got so much stuff here, it's mind-boggling, you know? Hold on. I forgot his name. I just said it a couple of seconds. James Bennett, the guy who got fired from the New York Times for running the story on, writing Tom Cotton's piece. He said he was warned before he ran it that maybe you should put a trigger warning on it, saying that some people might find this uncomfortable because it was written by a Republican. And he said that's when he knew, when somebody told him that, that's when he knew that the whole place had gone to hell. So, I mean, and then on top of that, there is, you're talking about these kids, right? So here's other stuff that's happening, and you've probably heard about this now because it's been all over the news, and it's unbelievable. What's really unbelievable is his reaction. So this guy, and I can't remember what senator he works for, he filmed this porn video in one of the Senate hearing rooms in the Capitol, right? So he's having sex, he's having gay pornographic sex for on camera inside a Senate meeting room, right? And he works in the Capitol, and he got fired. Geez, I wonder why. First of all, where do you get the idea that you can do this? That's the part I don't understand. It's like, who told you this would be a good idea. How stupid are you? And apparently you're stupid. And then he decides, he goes on Twitter and he says, well, I'm the victim here. This is homophobia. No, somebody said, no, it doesn't have anything to do with who you are or what you were doing. It's where you did it. If you want to do this in your home, that's fine, you know. And then on top of that, so you go back a couple of weeks, rewind a couple of weeks, there's a woman, last name, her, is it Suzanne Gibson? Her name's Gibson. So she was running, or I can't remember where, she was running as a Democrat in some for some local state legislature, and I can't remember where. So she was on OnlyFans with her husband, and she's taking requests for payment, right? You know how that works, right? The thing is, you know, you get couples on there, they will do pornographic acts if you pay them in real time. So they're literally are performing for people. That's what they're doing. Now, I'm a libertarian. I really don't have any problem with that per se, you know. But here's the amazing thing. She's running for office, and she gets busted, and she says the people who busted her, the Republicans who busted her, are invading her privacy. She did this in public. In public. That's an invasion of your privacy? No, I don't think so. No. And also, you're running for office. Don't you think maybe you should cut this shit out? I mean, this gets down to the Joe Biden crime family thing, too. There's one thing that Biden has going on right now that is defensible. You know, they have so much, you know, the fact that they got last weekend that the Democrats got on all the Sunday shows and said that there's absolutely no evidence about the president's done anything wrong. That's complete, utter bullshit. That's a lie. There's no proof. See, that's the thing. There is no proof. There's no smoking gun yet. I don't know if they're going to find one, but there's plenty of evidence. They got enough evidence right now. If Joe Biden was a normal crime family mob guy, you know, just some guy, the whole family would be in prison already. They have that much evidence. But no, that's true. They do not have an actual link from a Chinese bank account from a Chinese corporation to his bank account directly. They don't. They probably took enough care so that won't come up. There certainly is a lot of coincidences. There's the same amounts being transferred, but there's no actual proof. But the one thing Joe is going for him is that it does seem like that when he was elected president, or even when he was running, at some point they decided to cut all this shit out. They stopped. See, that, and that's the other, and that's a defensible thing. You say, well, you can't impeach the president because he didn't, even if he did this shit, he didn't do it while he was president. And that's true. It appears that that's true. I'm speculating here too, but that's the appearance right now. He did not do any of this while he was president. He did a whole bunch of it while he was vice president. So, I mean, everyone's got their undies in a bundle about this impeachment inquiry, but that's all it is, an inquiry. I doubt very much that they're going to actually go through with an impeachment trial. I really do. I doubt it. Because it's a waste of time. They did it for Donald Trump, the big show trial. You know, yeah. That was bullshit too, complete bullshit. The real amazing thing is nobody brings this up anymore. The specific thing they actually tried Donald Trump on was talking to Zelensky on the phone, believe it or not, in Ukraine. You know, still raises its ugly head. And Trump asking about, do you have any dirt on Joe Biden? Because of that, and at that point, Joe Biden was not even a declared candidate for the 2020 election. He hadn't even declared. But the Democrats thought that was so unctuous that they impeached him anyway. They put him on trial because they said he was election interference. Now the hilarious thing is, apparently Trump knew something nobody else knew at the time because there is shit on Joe Biden. A lot. There's a lot. And that's the really thing. It was a legitimate, and it was, in retrospect, it was a legitimate request, you know? But, so my point is, I don't think they're going to actually put him on trial, but the reason they did all this crap is so they have a subpoena power to actually gather evidence. Because, well, first of all, they obviously want to reveal this, you know, but in reality, because none of this stuff happened when he was president. This should actually be a regular criminal trial, and you can't criminally charge a president for anything until he's out of office. And if that would be the case, that would be when you do this. You know, I don't think Trump or the Republicans would actually do this, actually put a former president on trial, even though they're doing it right now for the most ridiculous reasons. But the thing is, if they did it with Biden, there's a probability based on the evidence that he would go to prison. That's the thing. And I do not consider that an exaggeration at all. They have that much evidence. You know, I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours and dole it all out to you. You can get online and look. They don't have proof, but they have a shitload of evidence. And so when the Democrats say they have no evidence, that's a complete, utter, bald-faced lie. So I brought this up because, like, it's talking about this Gibson woman and this guy, and I can't remember his name. It's kind of unpronounceable. Who did this porn video in the Senate hearing room? What are these people thinking? Have we all lost complete utter common sense? And I know that right now, the way social media works, the more outrageous shit you do, the more attention you get. But still, so you want to be known as the person who filmed a gay porn video in the Senate office chambers. You want to be known as that. That's going to follow that guy around for the rest of his life. I don't know if he'll ever get hired ever again to do anything. What are you thinking? What are you doing? And I'm getting back to the kids thing now here. And then you got this guy, Brinkman, you know, who did the same thing, who was literally stealing people's luggage at the airport to wear their dresses. I mean, Jesus, you know, what the fuck? I don't understand. We have raised a whole generation of morons, and these people are going to be running the country someday. You know, it's just a matter of time. You can make an argument they're running it already. I mean, it appears that in the Biden administration, that the staffers collectively are running the administration. There is always that thing about who's in charge. Is Biden really in charge? But, you know, it's kind of like the collective thing of the New York Times. The collective mass of people under him are running the whole thing. It's a swamp. They have their own swamp. Excuse me. When does this end? When does this stop? And of course you get the press covering for all this. I mean, constantly. They are constantly lying and then passing them off. Oh, we just made an error. That thing with Hunter Biden on the steps of the Capitol, that misquote, that is not an error. There's no way in hell you could mishear that. That was the crux to the whole thing. And they reported it wrong. And so getting back to what I'm starting here with is that, okay, so then now the Pope issues an edict on same-sex marriage, and they're reporting it completely wrong. And when I mean they, I'm talking about everybody. Everybody, it's wrong. What the press is telling you is not correct. You know, this is one of the reasons I even got in the news is because I've been following this UFO thing for 30 years. You know, okay, so December 2017, the government finally said, yeah, there are UFOs and they're real. We don't know where they're from. Blah, 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 blah. We don't know how they work, but they're real flying machines. They are actually flying around. So they said that. Now, I've been talking about this for 30 years, and people always ask me, and I've said this many times, but if you're new to the show, or I just want to pound it into your head because it's really important, well, Jim, how did you know? What, you were just guessing? Was it speculation? No, I actually knew. And the reason I knew is because of government documents, hundreds of them. We're not talking about three or five. We're talking about hundreds of them. There's hundreds of memos from the Pentagon talking about UFOs, hundreds of them. And they basically, most of them say, it's the same thing we're talking about here. They don't know where they're from, you know, they don't know what's going on. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. There's only one single government document I know of that actually talks about aliens. And that's something on the FBI. It's on the FBI archive website. You can go look at it. Basically, it's a four-page memo sent from someplace, I can't remember, Kansas or something, to the Home Office in D.C. And the memo basically says, in 1,000 words, we have this crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft and these three dead aliens. What do you want us to do with them? That's basically what the memo is. That's what it is. That's the only public document I know of that actually talks about aliens. But the UFO thing, oh, and by the way, I mentioned this before too, but this bears repeating. The FBI says that was just a colossal misunderstanding. it's just somebody made a mistake. No big deal. Nothing to see here. Move along. Yeah, right. What did you mistake for three dead aliens? What is that? You know, lizards? I don't know. You know, cats? Cats with helmets. I have no idea. But that's what they say. They say it was just a misunderstanding, just a colossal error. Yeah, sure, right. Okay, fine. So my point is, this has been going on forever. And the next question is, okay, if you, the little stupid radio guy, if you knew about this, and John Greenwald on the Black Walters, he knew about it, and 15 other people in America knew about it, how come no one... the press reported on it, and my answer has always been, that's a goddamn good question. I do not know. I mean, you know, I don't think you have to be a fucking rocket scientist, and that's kind of a pun in there, I guess, to actually look at this stuff and say, oh my God, and apparently the UFOs are real. You don't have to, you know, but nobody did that. Now the speculation is not that so nobody wanted to, but that the government hushed it all up. That, and there might be something to that. But the thing is, then you get, now you have collusion between the press and the government that goes back 50 years. The whole thing's corrupt, ladies and gentlemen. It's fucking unbelievable. You know, so Vivek, here's another thing that happened. Vivek Ramaswamy's on CNN. And he's talking, what's the woman's name? Abby something. I can't remember. I did not put this in my notes. So I'm just pulling this out of my butt. This is on Friday or Saturday or Thursday or something like that, a few days ago. And she's asking him about the fact that that he said that he thinks the 2020 election was rigged. And and she says, but there's no evidence to this whatsoever. And he said something to the effect that he said, when I got into this game of politics, I would have thought that was bullshit too. But now I realize, being in this 3 years, I realize that there's a whole bunch of people doing a whole bunch of nefarious crap. This, I'm paraphrasing, of course. I'm not quoting here. And he's right. That's what I realized being in the news thing for 3-4 years now, too. I mean, I realized about a year into it, oh, my God, nothing is as it seems. Nothing. And that's the part where you, dear watcher, viewer, that's... If I can impart anything onto you with that, oh, and the fact that climate change is bullshit, and it is. So there's that too. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. That's what Mark Morano talked. That's his gig. So we've had Patrick Moore on the show. The interview I did with him is the single most watched interview episode of this program so far. We had several thousand people watch that. And that's because he knows his shit. And if you're interested in his book, it's called, we have a link to it on our blog, Fake Catastrophes and Threats of Doom, something like that. I mean, he eviscerates climate change in this book. And the book's not that long. It is a little, he said, you know, I commended him for making it as simple as possible. But that said, there's some scientific stuff going on here, so it's not that simple. There are no mathematical formulas, but there's a lot of charts and graphs. And he said, well, I'm trying to make it for anybody, but he's a brainiac. It's a little bit of a dense read. I think most people could plow through it. But the thing is, he makes his point just in unbelievable clarity about the fact that climate change is complete crap. So... Oh, here's another example of the kids are not all right anymore. Hold on. I'm actually gonna read this article. I want to look at the article myself. This is I got this off the Fox News website. There's a YouTube influencer. Oh, fuck that. God almighty. What a bunch of bullshit. You're an influencer, huh? God bless you, you know. It's like, you know, eat some fried chicken. And he's, so he goes on a name of Young Mantis. He has 53,000 subscribers on YouTube. And he actually tried to check in as a player in a Division I basketball game. I don't know these teams. Lindenwood and IUPUI. They were playing. And he walked over the scorer's table and he was wearing complete official, school clothing, uniform to play. And he tried to check himself into the game. And he got caught. Both of the coaches from both the teams realized what was going on and they stopped him. So I don't know if he's going to see any jail time for this, but nobody sees jail time for anything. That's the problem. You know, I mean, right now in pretty most states in the United States, you can steal anything under the price cost of $950 and you won't get any jail time anymore, at least in blue cities, you know. Unbelievable. So this guy thought this would be a really good idea. Now, once again, here's the problem here, and that is he's hoping that it is hope. You know, he doesn't have a guarantee that by doing something absolutely outrageous, he got on Fox News website, and that will translate to views on his YouTube page. That's the way this works. You do something, the more outrageous, the better, right? Doesn't matter whether it's embarrassing. It doesn't matter whether it's going to stick with you for 10 years. You just do it. And it's I don't know. I honest to God, I'm almost speechless. And that, you know, I talk for a living. Shit. And finally, this sounds like I'm changing the subject, but I'm actually not. So another poll was done this weekend about the most popular figures in American life right now, or the most respected. That's what, not necessarily popular, the most respected. And the people who came on this list, the top three were Robert F. Kennedy, Elon Musk, and Benjamin Netanyahu. Like I told you, you know, the vast majority of Americans are for the Israelis in the war now. And also, it was pointed out in this article too, ironically, Netanyahu is not that popular among his own citizens. I mean, he's basically, if it wasn't for the war, he'd be holding on to his coalition in parliament there by the skin of his teeth. But the war has kind of sort of gathered people together. But I don't know if you saw this, you know, the IDF admitted they accidentally killed three of the hostages by mistake. And the country really got really angry. And I mean, that's bound to happen. It's a war. You know, people are going to get killed by mistake, you know. Now, a friend of mine, I had dinner with him last week, and he was talking about the fact he's really kind of pissed off about this because he thinks that the Israeli response to Hamas's aggression is kind of disproportionate. He said, "Well, you know, Hamas killed 1,300 people in Israel, and now they've killed 13,000 Hamas." And he said, "Jim, do you happen to know how many members of Hamas there are?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And then I went home and I checked. And this is from both the Department of Defense website and Wikipedia. And Wikipedia can be wildly inaccurate, but they both agreed. There's 20 to 25,000 people estimated to be in Hamas. So that's a lot of, you know, and you know, if you're going to get rid of all of them, that's a lot of people to kill. So, and, you know, 13,000 is definitely below that. But the thing is, if you're going to go about this campaign of eradicating this terror threat, you're going to kill people by mistake. It's going to happen. It just is. You know, but I know that in Israel, there were protests. There's a lot of anger about the fact they killed these Israelis, three Israeli citizens by mistake. But here in the United States, like I said, Netanyahu is third on that list of most respected individuals. And Robert F. Kennedy, that's easy to see. Now, this is going to be really interesting. You know, and I don't know how the hell they figure that. You know, this is one of those things where I sit here and I prepare for the show in the afternoon and I think, God, am I wrong about this? And apparently, no, I'm not wrong. They're just stupid, you know, about the fact that there was the when Kennedy entered the race as an independent, the first things came out that said, well, you know, actually, in reality, he's going to benefit Biden way more than he's going to benefit Trump. And I thought, no, he isn't. No, no, they're Democrats, man. And the thing is, Kennedy is not actually even that centrist of a liberal. He's actually kind of, in some ways, kind of out there, you know. So I thought, no, there's no. That's wrong. And of course, now the latest polling has shown that I was absolutely correct, that Kennedy is polling at about 16% of the electorate. But if you remove him, Biden's numbers go up. So in other words, he is taking votes away from Biden. There's no doubt about this at this point, at least from the polling that's been done so far. But my thing with Kennedy is the same thing. I thought the same thing with Tulsi Gabbard. You know, and a lot of conservatives love Tulsi, and I kind of do too. I do too. You know, first of all, it seems like a really lovable woman, fantastic human being. But with both of those people, and there's other people like this too, and the reason they stick out right now is because if push came to shove, if you got in a moment where you needed some real wisdom to make a decision, I would trust Kennedy to do that. I would, even though I disagree with him on a lot of stuff, but still, I would trust him. If we're being bombed by the Chinese or we're being bombed by the aliens or whatever it is, I would trust him to do the right thing. I trust his judgment. And I think that's what people see in him, you know. Now, you know, we're talking about conspiracy theories, about how I'm the king of conspiracy theories, but I do have to mention this. And I was going to do a show on this on November 22nd, on the anniversary of JFK's death, and we ended up not doing a show at all. And I still want to do this. I still got to get around to it. But Kennedy, of course, he is the nephew of JFK and the son of RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Sr., who was killed at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles in 1968. Both of them murdered. He has said on the record that he's convinced that the CIA killed his uncle and he's convinced that Saran Saran didn't kill his father. He doesn't know who did, but he says he did. And there's really ample evidence for both those things. And so you can call me conspiracy theory all you want. You know, I mean, I've come up with a very detailed scenario, what happened in Dealey Plaza. And yeah, I think the CIA did it. Well, actually, the Chicago mob did it for the CIA. The CIA paid the mob to do it. The thing with Saran Saran and the Ambassador Hotel, and I lived in Los Angeles for 5 years, and I lived basically across the street from the Ambassador Hotel. I don't know if you know that area of Wilshire Center, now it's called Koreatown. I spent a lot of time, the Ambassador Hotel and the bars in the hotel were basically my hangout spots. That's where I went. But that was really weird what happened there. Kennedy gave this speech in the ballroom, and he's exiting the hotel through the kitchen. And that, first of all, that was not the plan. The Secret Service, that was not the original plan. That they decided that at the very last minute for some reason, which I'll get to in a second. So they're going through one of the pantries in the kitchen, and this guy, whose name is Saran Saran, walked up in front of Kennedy, walking toward him, took out a pistol, aimed at his head, and fired. Got that? Okay. So you're thinking that's there's like 30, 50 people in this room that saw him do it, right? You think, well, this is an open and shut case, man. This guy killed this guy, you know? Well, here's the real weird thing about this. Thomas Noguchi was the famous coroner in L.A. at that time. 1968. And after they did the autopsy and they did the pathology. And so Saran was standing in front of Kennedy, but Noguchi said, that's not how he died. He died being shot in the back of the head from literally like 3-inch range. In other words, with a gun almost virtually pressed up to his skull. That's how he said, that's how Kennedy, that's how he died. He said there was no entrance room from the front at all. That's really, really weird. Now, here's another weird thing, too. So, as soon as Cerrone pulled the trigger and fired, I don't know if you guys remember Rosie Grier, who was a very famous football player in the 1960s, and he was in Kennedy's party and walking through there. So, Grier, he's a fucking defensive lineman, grabs Cerrone, throws him down on one of those roll-away aluminum kitchen tables, and starts to pound the gun out of his hand. And in the process of doing that, the gun fires. Every time he slams Cerrone's hand onto the table, the gun goes off. All right, the gun holds 8 shots. And everyone saw Cerrone fire once. So he fired once at Kennedy, right in front of him from 3 feet away. So that happened. Grier did that 7 times until he was out of bullets, until the one time he did it and it didn't happen anymore. And then Grier knew that the people who had wrestled him on the table knew that the gun was empty. And then they basically just, fucked him over. they took him, All right, so the gun has 8 shots. The LAPD goes in there afterwards, and they find 13 bullet holes in the walls from 8 bullets. Well, that you can't do that. That doesn't work. So the speculation always been, I'm not going to name this guy because I don't know if he did this or not, that actually Kennedy's bodyguard actually shot him from the rear. That the whole thing was a setup. And then you're thinking, well, why would Cerrone do that if he didn't actually do it? And then you get to this Manchurian candidate thing. There's this thing about the fact that he was hypnotized. And because to this day, Cerrone says he does not remember any doing this at all. He remembers going to the hotel, and he said he found a woman very famously in a polka dot dress who was very charming and very attractive, and he ended up talking to her, and that's the last thing he remembers. Now, there's several people who saw this woman and 2 other guys run out of the hotel yelling, "We shot him, we shot him." So, who the fuck knows what happened, And, you want to kill somebody and not get caught? Do it in public. That's what I say. 300 people were in Dealey Plaza, and basically every single person has a slightly different story about what happens, And there's film, and still, the only thing I can tell you about the film, the Zapruder film, there's a digitally cleaned up copy that's been making the rounds that I thought about showing it to you, but I think the rights to do it just cost too damn much. But the thing is, so they took out the jitter, they took out the camera movement, all that sort of stuff. It's a smooth film now. It was digital manipulation and restoration. And in that copy of the film, it's plainly obvious that Kennedy's shot to the head is from the front. It's plainly obvious. I don't think it's that obvious in the actual original film, but in the cleaned up version, it's plainly obvious. And I know that the woman who's the head of forensics for Dallas Police, I don't know if she's still there. She's there for like 25 years. She said, after going through all the evidence, she was absolutely convinced without a shadow of the doubt that Kennedy was shot from the front. So there's our story. And that lends very well to what I call part 3 here, but we don't have that because we don't have a guest. I got a couple things I want to run by here, and we promote this on the description of our show tonight. So, Microsoft's new version of ChatGTP, which they call, oh God, what are they called? I can't remember. Hold on. I'm gonna check. It's called Copilot. It used to be called just Bing Chat, but now it's called, or Bing Bot. Now it's called Copilot. So Copilot apparently makes shit up. Now everyone's heard this about the chat bots. about the AI programs, but apparently it's pretty bad. It's like it makes up, the Copilot makes stuff up out of whole cloth, just, you know, facts that have absolutely nothing to do with anything, and presents them as real, presents them as factual information. Well, that's really great. That's what we need in our chatbot. Yeah, get that, you know? I mean, we had a bad enough problem with the ChatGPTs going out on the internet finding bad information. No, we've stepped it up now. We'll actually make it up. We're not looking it up. We're making it up. You know, it does say something about these AI programs, though. You do wonder. I mean, at what point do you cross over into true intelligence? I mean, you got a bot here that's literally making up information. It's not going out on the internet and finding bad information. It's making bad information up. It's just, you know, I'll just, you know. And then the other thing, and this was also online too, about the fact that at OpenAI, one of Microsoft's competitors on this, their new ChatGPT-4 now is apparently it gets seasonal depression. So it's winter, and it's kind of slowed down. It's kind of, and it is exhibiting what the developers call lazy behavior. And they don't know if this is because of it's interacting with people of seasonal depression or if it actually hasn't. They don't actually know. That's wonderful. It's like, yeah, let's turn our whole lives over to these things. They don't know how they run. We designed this and we don't know how it works. Oh, man. I got more UFO stuff here, but I'm going to save that for the rest of the week. So tomorrow we got, Mark Morano. Yeah, we got Mark Morano's coming here on from climatedepot.com. We got a whole bunch of questions for him. We're going to have a really nice chat, man, because, you know, I've said I have two goals with this program. One is to expose you to really interesting people that you might not hear anywhere else. Now, all right, Morano's all over the place, but still, he's interesting. He qualifies for that. And the second is to debunk climate change. It's the single biggest grift ever put before the American public. I mean, I'm not kidding about this. I actually think we have this posted on our website, on our blog, about the fact that the UN said, this is before this COP28 thing. They said about a month or two ago, they said that, you know, we can solve the climate change problem, except we need $75 trillion. It's like, what's his name from Austin Powers, you know, Dr. Evil. You know, yeah, it's like $75 trillion. Yeah. The entire output of the United States is only about, I mean, I'm not talking about the government, about everyone is only about $16, $20 trillion a year, you know, and they want $75 trillion. Yeah, sure. Tell me about it. So, you know, here I'm sitting here, I'm bitching about these kids, but I'm laughing about it because this stuff is, it's hard to, if you, some of the stuff that's going on today, if you had told anyone even 7, 8 years ago, before Donald Trump became president, like if you go back to 2015, nobody would believe this could happen. Nobody could. That we have 12,000 people coming through the southern border every single day. By the time Joe Biden's first term is done, they're estimating they have let 8 million people into the country. There's 330 million Americans. That means that they have increased the population by over 2%. It's plainly obvious they're doing this because they're sooner or later they want to give these people the right to vote. And you just wait. Now, Donald Trump, if he's elected, he's talking about this mass deportation program. And I know him. Knowing him, they will execute it. And the Democrats will just, they will scream to high heaven, this is so inhumane that you're kicking these people out of the country. Oh, fuck you. It's like, my parents are immigrants. My mother, my 99-year-old mother, bitches and moans about the fact that none of these people have to stand in line like she did. You know, there's ways to get into the country legally. It's, you know, that there's that's not a problem. The problem isn't immigration. The problem is illegal immigration. That's the problem. Yes, and I can't call them illegal immigrants, I guess, can I? But they're illegal, and they're illegal immigrants. So that's the thing. I mean, you can't. What the hell happened? All this shit happened in 3 years. I mean, it's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But we will live to talk about another day tomorrow. You know, I love doing this. I'm glad you like to watch. Our numbers are going up. I really appreciate it. You know, it's like, I want to point something out here too. Okay, so that's the address to call in. It's not a number; it's an address. But here's an actual telephone number. You can send me a text or leave me a 30-second voicemail message at that number, 408-458-5088, 24 hours a day. And I don't check them while I'm on the air, but I do check them afterwards. I'm thinking about checking them on the air. I'm thinking about doing that. I mean, I've gotten a little shit about the fact that I do not follow the chats out of the various websites that we're on during the show, because that's a common thing for people who do these types of shows to do. And I refuse, mostly because we're on 8 different platforms, so if I do it on one, I'm leaving a whole bunch of people out. There's that. That's part of it. And probably also the fact that I'm old and feeble, I need to concentrate. I just talked here for about 62 to 63 minutes nonstop. You try that. Yeah, so, yeah. And like I said, we had a big announcement on January 1st. We're going to do a January 1st show. We got a whole bunch of people coming up. I think it's on the 16th of January. Stan Gordon, famous UFO researcher, is going to be joining us. I'm really looking forward to that. This guy knows fucking everything and everybody. He knows where all the bodies are buried. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. That's going to be pretty cool. We got a lot of stuff going on. So anyway, we're finishing up. This is going to be our 5th month. And I want to thank you for making this. I'm having fun. I hope you're enjoying this too. So at any rate, we'll see you tomorrow. Mark Morano here. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie. And good night to you, wherever you are. We'll see you tomorrow night. Oh, wrong button. I put the wrong button.